Hello and welcome to Two Girls Who Read, a podcast. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Lily, and this is the podcast where we talk about anything and everything book related.
This week's topic is Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
I feel like I forget how to do like a book podcast because it's been so long since we've done a book podcast because like we were on a break and then our last two episodes are just like us talking about our lives.
Yes.
So now I'm like, where do we usually begin with these?
Well, yeah. So I guess quick update for those, because some people might just be tuning back into us after like months of leaving.
Oh, so true.
We kind of went AWOL for a bit, but then we uploaded some episodes where basically, if you're new here or if you haven't been keeping track, Lily and I went to Europe. We now live together. It's a whole thing. She moved to Australia from Canada. This is our like first book topic podcast back since really, I don't even know what month, probably
May. I think it was May
possibly,
so sorry about that.
But we're back with a really good book to talk about, so spoiler alert for, as usually all of our book related or book themed episodes go, there are spoilers ahead.
For Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yeah, and hopefully, I just also want to premise, so we're in the clear, hopefully the audio is good for this episode, because just like it's the first episode of Lily and I recording in our place in Australia, it's also the first episode we've ever recorded, like, two separate microphones on one computer.
So, and it's been touch and go.
It's been touch and go, and we've just spent about 10 minutes looking up YouTube tutorials on how to do this. Very professional podcast as we are.
So, I think it's working. We can see the little waves on our computer screen for our voices.
Yeah. So. We're really just doing this because we're too lazy to, like, edit how we usually do, which is, like, too exhausting.
So, anyway, let's start by talking.
Daisy Jones is bad. This is really bad because you're usually the one who's
Okay, well, I guess just start out, like, we both rated this book 5 stars. Like, we both really enjoyed it. I think that we need to get that out of the way.
I didn't know how to go into this because the only other Taylor Jenkins Reid book I had read before this was The 7 Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which I am a massive fan of. Like, I feel like a lot of people know that. If you know, on this podcast, the 7 Husbands of Evelyn Hugo episode has one of the most downloads, so our opinions of that are pretty well known.
Yes.
However, Lily, she has read 3 of Taylor Jenkins Reid's books. Yes.
So Daisy Jones and the Six was my 3rd Taylor Jenkins Reid book.
And it was your make or break.
Right? And it was my make or break because I had read The 7 Husbands of Evelyn Hugo first, and I really loved it, obviously, like Olivia said, like most people. And then I read Malibu Rising, which I liked, but the ending was really underwhelming. And so the book was just kind of fine for me. Like, it was good, but it wasn't great. So I was like, oh, 7 Husbands, like a one-off, like, let me see. Like, and then I read Daisy Jones and loved it. So it was a
She's back on the mend, and we're very excited for Taylor Jenkins Reid's new book, which I forget the name of,
but Carrie Soto is back, I believe the name of it. I think it comes out in August.
Word on the street is it's better than any of her other ones she's done before about an athlete. So
we're looking forward to that.
Taylor Jenkins Reid, I really think she just found her niche with 7 Husbands, which is just writing famous people. And she's running with it.
She does it well. Like, she does it, and she does it well. I'm trying to figure out when the new book comes out. I'm pretty sure it's right away.
I think you're holding your microphone wrong. Sorry for the interruption.
Am I holding?
I think the light's meant to be facing you, isn't it?
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Because, see, it's still the same. Anyway.
Anyway, sorry. Like we said, like we're picking it up on the go. We're going to keep this in just to keep it real. Favorite moment from Daisy Jones and the Six. Is that how we usually do this?
I think my favorite moment was, at least for me, like, figuring out that it wasn't real. I guess.
Thank you. Yes.
Because
I was so shocked.
This is very common. So a lot of people think that the band Daisy Jones and the Six is a real band. And that is 100% due to the very clever idea that was the author's note at the beginning of the book. That author's note, we didn't realize, was actually technically the first page of the fictional,
it's fictional
story.
Yeah.
Which was just, it threw me for such a loop. So, I mean, I figured out that it wasn't real as soon as, like, kind of, like, the fourth wall was broken, I guess. And, like,
when?
It was when, like, Julie was her name? Like, the daughter?
Julia
came in as, like, the author of the book. And she's like, wait. Basically, like, cut the cameras, like, let me say.
There's two authors.
Yeah,
the first one at the start of the book, and then the one that really just, like...
What do you mean the one at the start of the book?
Well, there's one at the start of the book where it's just, like, this is a recounting.
Yeah,
of...
that was, like, Julia's book.
Huh?
Julie's book. I think her name is Julie.
I think it's Julia.
Okay, whatever.
No, I'm talking about, like, when you open the book, it's,
yeah,
like, page 2 or 3, author's note. But are you talking about that, or are you talking about the author's note near the end, which is, like, the plot twist of the book? That author's note.
I'm talking about, not, like, no, I'm not talking about the author's note. I'm talking about, like, when, like, Daisy is talking, and then it's, like, author cuts in. Like, it says that in the book. It's, like, author cuts in, and then it's,
that
like,
that is really... an author's note.
Okay, yeah, but, okay, sorry.
The one at the end.
I mean, no, well, yeah, the one at the end.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, the full author's note. It's just, like, the little one-liner or whatever where...
Yeah, it's
yeah,
still
yeah,
an
okay.
author's note, though.
Okay, well, sorry. Anyway, yeah, that's the moment. I think that was definitely one of my favorite parts of the book, because I just remember reading that and being, like, so taken aback by it. Like, I was, like, not expecting that to come in, and then the rest of it was just, like, a whirlwind. And then, yeah, I don't know.
So that's when you realized it was a fictional band. Yeah.
That's when I realized it was a fictional band, yeah.
See, I'm not as smart as that. Actually, it took me the acknowledgements.
The acknowledgements.
And it was when Taylor Jenkins Reid was literally saying, I got the idea, the reason why I chose to do a 70s band. I'm like, what do you mean you chose to do a 70s band? It's just the way it went. Like, you don't, they're real people. What are you talking about? And I was thrown for an absolute loop when I found that out. Like, Lily was with me when I found it out. And I was like, what? No, absolutely not. Because I've never had that with a fictional book before where I genuinely was convinced that these people were real. Like, I
and
was
guys,
ready to go look up their biographies.
And guys, let me just say, this was hilarious to witness. I just need to say it. Because here's the thing about Olivia. When she, like... she gets really into her predictions that she makes about a book if she really likes it. And she's like, no, I'm 100% right. I am 100% right. And then she says, she's like, I feel like we're going to find out that, like, Taylor Jenkins Reid is so good at writing famous people because, like, her parents are famous.
She's
or
a nepotism
something.
Baby.
She's a nepotism baby. And me, at this point, I had already finished Daisy Jones and the Six. And then when it kind of got to the part where, like, I said that I figured out that it was a fictional band, when, like, Julia was like, oh, like, and I'm, like, Billy and Camilla's daughter, and I'm the one writing this book. And, oh, my gosh. Taylor Jenkins Reid is Billy Dune and Camilla Dune's daughter. I knew. You looked at me, you're like, Lily, I knew. I called it. I'm 100% right.
Yeah.
She is a nepotism baby. And I just had to sit there with award-winning acting performance to not burst out laughing at this little performance.
No.
And then she just keeps going on. She's like, wow. And then the whole time she was like, you know, to be around when, like, I wish I could have seen this. Like, every time something would happen, and I was just
like...
Can
you blame me that? Because every time I wrote up, you should have told me. It was honestly, like, there came a point.
I should have humbled you so hard.
Yeah, you shouldn't have let me keep going. It wouldn't have even been humbling. It just would have been like, oh, thank you for letting... Because, like, I don't want to look crazy. You're so lucky I read this when we were in Europe and knew nobody, because if we were here and like, I would have been recommending this book to like people and it'd be like, it's a real band, and I would have looked crazy.
Oh, it was such a thing of like, because there was a point like when I was about to be like, ah, oh, so like they're fictional, hey, like what do you think of that? I was about to say that to you. But then you kept being like, and I knew she was a nepotism baby. Oh, I knew. Lily, I was so red. And I just couldn't break your heart like that. I just had to let you keep going.
It was just so annoying because I knew something was up with the fact that like, you couldn't find any of their music anywhere.
Yeah.
But then you had read this book before me and you were like, oh, I accidentally looked them up. And then I was like, well, if she accidentally looked them up, then they must be real. Like, you know, Wikipedia pages must come up for them. Not fan wiki pages. Like, Wikipedia pages must come up for them. Like, they must be real. So I was really just riding that wave. And then when I, you know, came down from it and realized I am Delulu, that was not a fun time for me. And so, yeah, I was ready to, like, buy merch and shit. I was like, Daisy Jones is six. Like, what is our fan name? I'm a K-pop girly. I'm ready to get invested in these bitches. I'm like, where are the photo cards?
I was about to tell you, actually, I was like, because when you finally finished the book, I was like, okay, someone needs to tell her now.
I knew, yeah.
And I was about to be like, I was about to bring it up. And then I remember, like, I started talking, like, Lily, I would like to read the acknowledgements. Thank you. And then
I was like, I did not say it like that. Yes. No, I didn't. You're lying through your teeth right now.
You were laying in our bed in Venice.
Oh. I know we're in the stamp. What are the off?
Anyway.
Our garage band's screaming at us because we're too loud. It's too loud. Are you sure you want your monitor on? Are you sure you want to be hearing yourselves as you're saying this?
Anyway.
No, but you are lying through it. I just said nicely, I was like, I want to read the acknowledgements. I like reading the acknowledgements. You're like, okay. I didn't go, excuse me, Lily. I'm trying to read the acknowledgements right now.
And then I knew in the acknowledgements it was going to give something away. And then all of a sudden you looked at me like, they're not a real band. And I was like, I wish I could have let you down softer than those acknowledgements would have. Because you were so into this band. You're like, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, but in saying that, though, that wasn't the first time that Taylor Jenkins read Bamboozle Me, because she had this knack for doing that. Like, Seven Husbands, you finished that and you wanted to go look up, like, Evelyn Hugo's movies, because it's mm-hmm. so, it's just something about the way she writes, like, people will study that shit and be like, look what she did here. It made you think it was real. Because everything's just so detailed. Because I thought about it after, clearly, because I was like, wow, this author really made me delusional. How did she do that as an aspiring writer? And it's just like, everything was so detailed. It was almost like too much detail in order for it to not be real. You know what I mean?
I just saw every single thing so clearly in my head.
Yeah.
Like, and just the style of the writing, the interview format was fantastic. And, like, it just really, you got everyone's different perspectives on the mm-hmm. same thing, which really joined together to make such a clear picture. Like, that album cover, like, yeah, I know exactly what the album cover looks like. Yeah,
the scene with the album cover where they're shooting that and everyone just has their own there was something story. By the way, it was written, it was just like, you could see everything, because, and even that in itself is so crazy, right? Because so many moments happened in that book, but even the way that she's done a better job at describing the moments that the characters are more likely to remember more clearly, like, that's even a really impressive feat. Like, it's representative of
a memory.
If they were real. It's representative of actual recounting of memories of an entire career.
And she made such realistic characters in the sense that, I'm not going to lie, pretty much every single one of them was quite unlikable most of the time.
I disagree with that.
I think a lot of them, like, I liked all the characters by the end of the book, but as I was reading it, pretty much every single one of those characters pissed me off at some point, in a way like a real person would. Like, even Graham was one of my favorites, but then at the end of that book, I was like, Graham, you fucking idiot. Like, why would you, like, it's so, and then, like, even, like, Billy and Daisy, like, they were so real, but they had so many flaws. Like,
oh my god. I just absolutely sneezed the shit out of her.
Oh god.
She's making a really deep
point. I'm making a really deep point.
Like, achoo.
But I feel like book characters are notoriously, or, like, their flaws are kind of things that, like, when you really look at them, aren't really flaws sometimes. But
there's something
kind of flaws
that
stories.
Makes them relatable. Like, but like Daisy and, well, the thing about Daisy Jones and Six, their problems weren't relatable. You're like,
yeah,
I can't relate to this. Like, so it's as if you're an onlooker, right? It's when you're annoyed at somebody.
From afar.
And that is how you are realistically annoyed at people in real life. When you're annoyed at book characters, it's usually because you see something of yourself in them, or it's like you're invested as if you're in the book and you're living that experience. And you go, oh, I can't believe you just like killed my cousin. I don't know. And then I don't know what book I'm referring to. I don't know what I'm referring to. It was either that or, wow, I can't believe my brother just kissed me, Cassandra Clare.
Oh my god, you get out.
And so, yeah, we gotta be grateful for what we have. But, yeah, but like with Daisy Jones and the Six, it was when you were annoyed at them, you were looking at, you know what it was? You're looking at their problems and their lives as if you were a fan, which is exactly if this
what
was
intention.
A real band was. Like, yeah, exactly. It was the intention. If this was a real band, it's how you would be looking at them. It's the same way that when we were watching, Lily and I rewatched Hunger Games Catching Fire this week, and we were watching the Hunger Games Catching Fire, and it's like, we are literally the capital right now watching the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Like, we're no better. We are the problem. Like, we're no better. This is exactly how we would be viewing this media if we lived in this world. So, yeah.
Which, yeah, that's definitely the thing. And, like, yeah, these characters were just so, like, because I feel like, it was such, like, an interesting thing because, like, Daisy and Billy were obviously the most popular members of this fake band, obviously. And everyone adored Billy and Daisy the whole time throughout. Like, they were what made this band a success because everyone was rooting for their romance and everyone was rooting for them as people. But they were some of the most annoying motherfuckers I've ever seen. They were so narcissistic about the band and being like, the band is me. Like, fuck the other band members.
Yeah,
and
but
like,
you could understand the image, like the appeal
of
how they worked.
Well, 100%. Yeah. Like, it totally makes sense. But then it just, yeah. Like, so then it's like, oh, they're like these great people. They're perfect. Like, they're in love, and then like 95% of the time they couldn't keep their mouths shut because they were too busy screaming at each other about the smallest little thing. And so like that was the thing. It's like you saw what they made them, their image, but you also saw them for real, which was a very cool element
of the
novel.
Which is exactly what you look for when celebrities come out with these big documentaries. Like, I'm missing that these days. I'm sick of like Netflix documentaries, all my secrets revealed. Yes, sir, I struggle with acne. And this documentary is actually sponsored by Proactive. Clear your skin today. Love heart emoji. Like,
I want the tell-alls.
Yeah,
like, I want the dramatic. Like, yeah.
Yeah, because even when I was reading this book, I told you, I was thinking, when this was back when I still thought these guys were people, mind you, I was going, look, if I was from the 70s, I would totally stan Daisy Jones. Like, she is fierce. She's a rock star. She's go-pow. I see the appeal. I would have her poster on my bedroom wall. Like, I just said it. And so it's amazing that even though we're learning all the shitty things about them and the things that the whole book is basically these characters going, we weren't just our image. I still fell for the image a bit. I mean, clearly, I wanted to go buy that.
You wanted to go buy the merch.
Music and whatever, but
I mean, my little moment of bamboozlement was, well, I started this book before we went on our Europe trip, and I read the beginning, read the little author's note at the start, where it's like, this is based off this band, and I was like, oh my god, it's about a real band. This is so cool.
I mean, even the blurb's in on it too, right?
Like, it is, yeah. And so I read the first few pages and I was like, this band's kind of sick. Like, and at the time my grandparents were up visiting and they were alive in the 70s. And so I was like, have you guys ever heard of this band, Daisy Jones and the Six? And they were like, no, I haven't. And I was like, yeah, they're this. And then I like played the excuse. I was like, yeah, I think they were a bit more American. And like back then it was a bit harder for like, it wasn't like today where it's like Spotify is everywhere and all that stuff. But I was like, yeah, I think they were more American. But like, that's my, and they're like, yeah, I think that's why we haven't heard of them. I'm like, must be.
I mean, it goes to show how easy, it's so easy to bamboozle, like, me, I've learned. You just gotta say something's old, and I'm like, oh, of course.
Of course. Because
I was reading this book, and I, like, in the book, like, Daisy Jones and the Six of Band, Taylor Jenkins Reid, like, she says they hit number one on Billboard, and they break records, and they're on Saturday Night Live, and I'm reading this, and I'm like, wow, these guys were really big. I can't believe. I never heard of them. And I'm like, it's just because they were from the 70s. I mean, there's so many music artists that are old that you never hear of. And that's all it takes to bamboozle me and go, you just have to go, no, this happened. It's just you weren't alive when it happened. I'm like, period. Yep. Definitely.
I mean, yeah, so...
Oh, I have a question.
Oh, you have a question. Okay.
Do you think... We're just jumping all over the place. Do you think that at the end... Because the end of the book, as a reminder, everybody, ends with...
Camilla's letter saying,
make sure Daisy and Billy, like, get meet up again and they owe her a song. Do you think... One, they did meet up. Two, they wrote that song. Three, they ended up getting back together, possibly, or ended up becoming a thing because they were never together.
112%.
I mean, oh, she said 112.
Okay, so let me just go through my thoughts on the ending, and then obviously I want yours as well. But basically, what my thoughts are is, like, I do think Billy was such an interesting character in the sense that, like, I feel like he always should have been making the mistakes, but he somehow just narrowly dodged every single one of them. I'm like, I kept thinking you were going to cheat on your wife, but you never actually did it. Or I thought that
you were going to totally relapse, but you didn't.
Like, so there's a whole thing that, like, I had no faith in this man whatsoever. Yeah. Like, absolutely none. And I do think that as weird as him and Camilla's relationship was, it's very clear how much he loved Camilla, because even though it didn't seem like it, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, we saw their story end in 1979, but then they spent the rest of her life together. That was quite a long time after that ended, so they must have had, like, a decently... They did have such an interesting relationship, but, like, I think that there was still happiness there and love. I think it was just very different.
Again, it was realistic because it wasn't like...
It was realistic.
We were just sunshine, like, and rainbows, like butterflies. We were in love. Yeah, I never doubted it. I mean, there's even lines where Camilla... Like, there was a line where Camilla literally said it was when she was referring to... when Daisy and Billy performed on Saturday Night Live, like, another song, a duet, like, unexpectedly. And... it's described as, like, everybody saw that night that they were just, like, in love with each other, and it really fed the love story that was playing in the media with them. And it cuts to Camilla, and basically one of the characters actually says, I just really hoped Camilla wasn't watching. And it cuts to Camilla going, like, Billy has broken my heart a few times, and that was one of those nights. And I'm like, you never hear a fictional love story
like
say that their fictional love has broken their heart multiple times. Like, that's rare.
That's how it happens. But, okay, bear with me as I say this. This might not make sense. It makes sense to my brain, but I'll do best.
Okay.
I feel like Camilla and Billy, like, Camilla was Billy's, like, love of his life, but Daisy was, like, his soulmate. Because I genuinely don't think that Daisy and Billy were in love, really.
No.
But they were just so drawn to each other for whatever reason. Like, there was some kind of connection there. Like, he loved Camilla. He didn't love Daisy, but he was drawn to her. They were, like, so connected.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many quotes that I definitely highlighted that I cannot think of off the top of my head where it was just... There's so many times where they both refer to each other as just, like... Even the way that they hated each other in the beginning, mm-hmm. the way that they describe why they hated each other was like, because they're exactly like me and nobody else understands me or has deep of a connection to me as this other person. I hate that.
Yeah,
I hate
it's
that.
Like, yeah. They were soulmates in, like, every lifetime, but they weren't together in every lifetime.
Think,
like, does that make sense?
I think it does make sense, but... A better phrase I might use is maybe that, like, phrase twin flames or whatever that they throw around.
Yeah,
where I'm not too up to date with the terms and the lingo, but
okay, yeah.
I think twin flames is more when somebody, you're like two sides of the same coin almost, and you're just, you're mm-hmm. still on the same wavelength, but it's not always meant to be something romantic. It's more just like, I'm connected to you, you're connected to me. Because it's hard, because they're not you wouldn't be like, they're soulmates, but they're not romantic soulmates. They're platonic soulmates. Like, they definitely weren't. I mean, they shared a microphone together. They
shared a microphone. They may as well
have just fucked each other on national television, for God's sake.
Yeah, but I do, I guess, to go back and, like, answer the rest of your question, I think that they did get together at the end. I think that they just had too much chemistry to not.
You know what I reckon would have happened? Oh, you keep going, sorry.
I was just going to say, and then I think that they definitely wrote that song for Camilla, and I think that it would have, I like, see, obviously, like, it's just, I, because the character feels so real, I want the story to keep going, but obviously that can't happen, but I can kind of picture how it would go, because Daisy was always pissed every time they wrote songs for Camilla. She's like, I don't want to sing that song for Camilla. Like, I don't want to write this song for Camilla. But I think that she would have been, like, happy to do it, you know, like,
well, yeah,
I could have seen how it would have gone, and like, they, she would have actually been like really jazzed about it, and they would have done it together, and then I think they would have gotten together a bit after that was over.
Yeah, you know what I think would have happened?
Oh, yeah.
I think they would have got together, wrote the song, but so much of the friction that came from like Daisy and Billy was that they couldn't have each other. I genuinely think that if they got together, they would have got together, and then since nobody was saying like, no, you can't be together, they would have got together and been like, oh, that's it. And I think they just would have like grown apart and realized that they don't like each other in that way. But I do think like so much of the tension behind Daisy and Billy was the fact that everybody around them was saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And like, don't be together and don't have any attraction to each other. So especially coming together under the circumstance of Camilla giving her blessing, I do think like maybe that tension wouldn't have been there anymore. And these were two very messy individuals. They were looking for that tension in their lives.
I don't know, because I might have to disagree with you there, because if you go back to the very brief ending of the book, kind of almost like the Where Are They Now segment, both Daisy and Billy did have their shit together quite a bit. Like, Daisy was a mom now. Yeah. Like, she had kids she adopted. And, like, she even said, she was like, no, like, I was a mess back then. Like, stability is where I'm at now. Mm. And I feel like Billy was the same, like, ever since they got out of the band. And, like, obviously he had his daughters and, you know, had been happily married for a while. And I don't know if it would have been perfect all the time, but I think that they would have probably stayed together. But that's, I don't know.
We'll never know.
I don't think they would have got together right away. I think it would have taken them a while, but then I think once they did, they would have stayed together. But
I mean, it's interesting because it's quite a different because like, I won't spoil it because we're not here to do a Seven Husbands episode, but Seven Husbands was a lot more close-ended than this one. But
I still
enjoyed them quite similarly, where yeah, it's just different because I'm sitting here at the end of Days Jones being like, oh, like, wonder what happened. Where are they now?
Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
it's a whole thing. Like, I do agree with you in the sense that when they were young, I think that most of the appeal was that they couldn't be together, but everyone, all the fans were kind of shipping them. But then, like, everyone in their lives that actually knew them was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And I think that if they had tried to get together, like, if she was like, Camilla, I'm leaving you for Daisy Jones, like, I think it would have gone up in absolute 10 gajillion flames. But I think in the future it would have worked better.
For sure. We should probably talk about some of the side characters because, yeah, now that we've got Daisy and Billy kind of out of the way. I mean, you can do a whole episode on just Daisy and Billy. But
there's so much happening.
Let's talk about Karen. I love
Karen. I love Karen. Yeah, Karen is one of the only characters that didn't, like, piss me off at some point.
Exactly. When you're saying, like, all these characters so unlikable, I was like, not Karen.
Not Karen. Not
my Karen.
Yeah, every character except for... Karen was slaying.
I feel like that Remember when that trend was going around? It's like, when I say I hate this, and then it's like, you are the only. It's like, when I hate Karens, or when I say Karen is an insult, she is the exception, because this Karen slays. Just so there to do her job, there to do rock and roll. She never, like, let herself be pushed around by the industry, and
she was just so unproblematic. Like, there was so much drama in that band that she just...
And no one ever had drama with Karen.
No one had drama with Karen. She was just...
Yeah. I mean, except for Graham. But that was Graham's issue because, yeah, I mean, if a woman gets an abortion and you're mad about that, that's your problem.
Oh, I had such a hard time with that because I was like, look, I get where he wouldn't get it because it was the 70s. Like, fuck, people don't even understand, like, women's rights and abortions now. So, like, imagine what these boys would have been taught growing up. They would have been like, you're going to have kids and you're going to provide for these kids and your wife and yada, 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 yada.
Especially like 24/7. After Graham has just watched kind of Billy do exactly that with, like, Camilla. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. So it's like, obviously, like, I was pissed and, like, Karen was, like, spitting facts 24/7 because she was just ahead of her time and was just knowing exactly what she wanted. And I had so much respect for that. And obviously, I was so pissed at Graham. But then, like, I was like, it's kind of like, again, like, I don't want to, like, spoil Evelyn Hugo, like you just said, but there were so many things in Evelyn Hugo that were just not okay. But I was like, but it was also, like, the 50s and 60s. Yeah. It was the 50s and 60s. Like, of course they thought that. Like, if that wasn't in here, it wouldn't have made sense. You'd be like, that's ridiculous. There's no way they're that progressive. There's no way. And so it's that thing where it was like, yeah, obviously I was pissed that he reacted that way. And I was like, why did that have to happen? But also I was like, it makes complete and utter sense that that happened.
Oh, yeah, and it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
They were cute. They were cute.
I liked them. I liked them. Yeah.
Yeah. But. And I really, yeah, I think they're kind of a classic, like, right person, wrong time scenario. But in saying that, yeah, I don't really know, because it's a question of if Graham was put in, like, this time, like, brought up with different values, would he really think differently, or would
well, that's the thing. It's that. Yeah, we don't know, but I mean,
yeah, maybe he was just a really is just a like a Republican or something. We don't
I don't know. That was just the thing that surprised me so much about Graham's character, and that's what, like, gets me to, like, bring up the fact that I was like, at first I was pissed, but then I remembered the time was because, like, Graham didn't ever really act that way, like, towards, like,
no,
like, about other things, if that makes sense. Like, he didn't act very, like, Republican-y, like, I guess what we know as, like, the pro-life conservative, like, throughout the rest of the book. So that was what kind of made me start thinking about it. I was like,
it was surprising.
I was like, oh, like, yeah, like, the time, like, that's what really, because there was a few moments, I guess, that I didn't really feel like we were in the 70s. Like, I felt like we were in the 70s, obviously, but, like, I didn't always think about it because, like, I feel like I was so busy focused on the music and everything. But then that one really took me back. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did still feel realistic as, like, modern women. Where I mean, I think every woman I know has had an experience where, no, this is a nice guy. And then there's just that one thing
that
you
one
find
thing.
Out of nowhere.
Like, oh, God.
You're like, oh, my God. Like, what? You're, like, that person? Yeah.
And it also really threw me off because I thought that they were... Well, I told you this, but I'm going to tell them. But I thought that they were going to keep the baby because of the part at the very beginning where Graham had said... Yeah. He was a dad. Like, you knew he had children because he mentioned his children. He's like, well, when I had kids, like, I had Billy to help me, but I can't imagine what Billy was going through now that I'm a parent, like, with no one having kids. And so you knew that he had kids and stuff. So I was like, oh my God, does he somehow talk her into, like, keeping this baby? And then I was pissed. I was mad, man. Like, I was like, no way does he do this.
I mean, yeah, it was oh, you keep going.
No, I was done.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, it's also really disappointing because even there was a bit where, you know, they're obviously talking from the future and you'd hope that there'd been some development, but Graham's like, there's a lot of things I have to forgive, like, Karen for. And I'm like, what? Like, they even still feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So that's Karen and Graham. I found the, like, Pete
and Eddie and Warren.
Yeah, the little trio there. Very interesting. Because they were almost like a little band in themselves. Like, there really were two parts to the band, and it was really like that wall or the half and half was almost really solidified by the way that there was a part in the book where there was like the two tour buses, right? And one had Karen Gray and Billy and somebody else, I can't remember. And the other one had Daisy, Warren, Pete, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting thing because that was just always a storyline that, ironically, I would forget about. And then Eddie would kind of come in and be like, I hate how, like, I don't get appreciated in this band and nobody remembers me. And, like, I got where he was coming from. He just wanted to be the leading man, I guess. But what was he? He was, like, a guitarist or something.
Yeah, I think so. And I was like, it's the ironic thing. He was always like, I'm not remembered in the band. And I was like, yeah, dude, I don't remember you in the band.
Exactly. Like, I would always feel bad for him. Like, oh, you know what? That would suck. But then I'd be like, oh, Eddie, you're still here.
You're still here. I found it so interesting how, like, none of the other members of the band, like, participated in the songwriting until Daisy came along. And she and Billy did the songs. And because at first I kind of thought it was like a whole situation where Billy was like, I want to be the only one writing the songs or whatever.
Yeah.
But then as soon as Daisy, and him and Daisy did not like each other, but she's like, I want to write songs with you. And he was like, okay. Which made me think that a lot of the members of the band could have, I mean, he wasn't like, okay, but no, he didn't he fight it that wasn't.
Yeah, he did.
Not really, but they did write together. Like,
fairly they wrote together only after the manager told them to.
I guess, but I thought it was quite interesting how none of the other members of the band ever expressed any interest in, like, writing any of the music. They were just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do see elements of that, but I disagree entirely with the statement that it was, that Billy was just completely okay with Daisy writing
yeah,
songs.
You're right.
That
she
was not how it went.
But I remember it went better than I thought it was going to go when they wrote music together. I do remember thinking that because you're right. It was definitely harder than that. But then I do remember that as soon as they started coming up with ideas together, it started going. Like, they were like, we wrote together all night long.
It was messy for like months. And it took them months to get their first song together.
Did it?
Yeah. It took them a long time. And Daisy like was about to bloody like quit or whatever, but then Billy followed her to like one of their houses, and then they stayed up all night because they did the whole I don't want to write a song about Camilla, and he's like, I don't know what else to write about, and then they got angry and they didn't like each other at all in the beginning, and then eventually they wrote their first song together, and then I remember they called the manager or whatever at like 4 a.m. or something, and then he was like, this is what you two write when you work together, and they're like, yeah, and he's like, I'm a genius then.
I don't think it took them months, because I remember they were like, we're gonna write together, and then they're like, we need songs for the album, and then the producer or manager or whoever was like, go to my house, and that's where they went to that house to write away, because the other band was gonna work, rest of the band was gonna work on some other stuff or whatever, I don't know, and they like, go to my house, work on the music, and then they were like kind of butting heads a bit, but then like as the night wore on, they were like, that's what it was. Yeah,
you know what it was? It was Billy was pissed because he had to choose whether to go with Daisy and write a song
that's
or stay with the band to control the mixing and mastering and whatever. Yeah. But we're saying all of this as well with something that, like, when I finished the book, I remember talking to Lily just briefly about. She was like, oh, yeah, Billy was, I don't know, actually, I won't twist your words. But we were just talking about how the general consensus seems to be amongst the fan of that and the band members, too, where it's like, oh, Billy was a little bit controlling with the music. And, like, he had a way he wanted to do it, and he executed it no matter what. But then there was this quote from and one of the producers, and I think, what were the producers' names?
There was like Teddy was the main one, and then there was
the other one. Anyway, this was a quote from the other one, and he basically went, I never understood the idea, or something along the lines, I've never understood the idea that Billy was like the man in charge, because one time when we were making music, like, Billy never did anything without Teddy's stamp of approval. And one time, like, we were secretly saying that we should do something to the track, and then Teddy went away, and I just joked with Billy and said, should we do it and even notice it, whether or not it got taken out or whatever. And then Billy said no, because their biggest hit was, like, a song that Billy didn't want to put out, and he thought it sounded horrible, and it ended up being their biggest hit. So if they're going to do anything, it has to have Teddy's stamp of approval. So I always find that an interesting quote, and I always bring that up when people are like, oh, Billy was just like really controlling, because that was a really good quote to put in there, because I think it's not appreciated a lot, where Teddy was really the man behind everything, like the game master, if you will, or whatever. And then even the way that Teddy died is what set off them
disbanding. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that same night.
Yeah.
That he died, they disbanded because they just...
Well, it wasn't all in one night.
I think it was, yeah, because then he went down to the bar.
No, you have account wrong. He died, and then they went on, like, tour or something, and then they disbanded.
They were on their tour when he died already.
I don't know.
I need to go look at this after, but...
Yeah, we'll look at this
because after. I'm pretty sure he went... Sure. Because what happened was because Daisy came into his hotel room when they were on the tour and was like, I want to get sober. Yeah. Oh, no, it was a bit later.
No, it wasn't on... They weren't on tour when that happened. But she did go into his room and say, I want to get sober. And,
why were they in a hotel?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I think they must have just started their tour or something, maybe. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's not important.
Yeah, it's not. But yeah, like, they were heading upwards. They were going onwards and upwards. Like, Daisy was like, I'm going to get clean. And Billy was like, yeah, sure. But then Teddy goes and dies, selfish bitch. And then, yeah, and that really, like, sent the spiral. But also you could argue Peter, was it Eddie's brother?
Mm-hmm.
Peter? He already announced that he was leaving the band anyway, whether or not anyone liked it or not. He was like, I'm done.
Yeah, because he wanted to marry that girl.
Yeah.
Which I wish I wanted their love story. Like, what was going on?
Like, well, that's what I mean. Like, it was really the underappreciated side of the band. Which is totally fitting to their story, because the whole story was like, we're the members, nobody talks about it, nobody remembers. Everyone's like, Billy and Karen and Graham and Daisy, but nobody's ever like, Eddie and Peter, and, you know.
Yeah, and so there's something, my favorite was in the little interviews or whatever, when other members of the band would share their opinions, because they all had all their opinions, like, on Billy and Daisy, right? Because they were like, they just all had different opinions depending on what the time was or whatever. But I always found it so funny during parts where they were like, oh, like, I can't believe Billy. Like, he's so annoying when he does this. Or like, I can't believe Daisy. She's so annoying and she does this or whatever. Or like, but I love Billy, or but I love Daisy. And it was always so ironic, I felt like, because they'd complain about one of them. But I'm like, Billy and Daisy are so similar. But like, and everyone else can see that difference. Except for Billy and Daisy, like...
Hold on, I did not. I felt like I got the essence of what you're saying, but I felt like there were too many words that were left out.
Sorry. Let me try that again. Yeah, my thing was that a lot of times, like, the other characters would be like, yeah, like, Billy's... For example, I'll give an example. That might be helpful. They'd be like, oh, like, Billy's so controlling, like, with the songwriting. It's ridiculous. But then it would cut to, like, Daisy and Billy songwriting. And, like, Daisy would be equally as controlling as Billy with the songwriting. Like, those two, like you said, are just two halves of the same coin. But the people that were closest to them, it was, like, so hard for them to see. And even for Billy and Daisy themselves, Billy would be like, I hate Daisy. Like, she's so annoying. And I was like, dude, she's literally you. Like, they were similar.
You mean, like, and the band even saw that they were similar as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, everyone saw it, but not them.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. So, like, they'd be like, yeah, she's so annoying, but I'm great, though. Like, I don't really see it.
Yeah.
Like.
No, that's true.
It's just her issue. And she'd be like, Billy's so annoying. I can't believe he would do this. And then it's like, Daisy, this is the exact same.
Yeah. Something else about this book, I felt like it suffered a bit from that classic, I don't even know what you call this effect, but it's like when you watch the sitcom Friends and then they're all drinking coffee and you're like, this is too much coffee to be healthy, or you're watching How I Met Your Mother and you're like, they're drinking every goddamn night, like, these are all alcoholics. This one, they were having cocaine all the goddamn time. Like, how are any of them alive?
It would never get me until it would be the thing where I'd be like, cocaine to wake me up, and then champagne to relax me, and then like they had all their different things to keep them even remotely functional for the day. Like, well, I can't take more cocaine because then like the pills won't work, and then like the, what did she call it, like the up and down or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
the up and down. Yeah,
like that's what it would get me. I was like, that is too much. Yeah, that is too much.
No, that's so true. Oh, actually, I'll be 2 seconds because I think my iPad's over there, and that has like some quotes on it that I think would be fun to look at. Lily is going to take.
I have two microphones now.
Speaking of the top, it won't say anything.
I have two microphones. Oh my
gosh. Wow, you're a really good podcaster. She just is full of content, everyone. Wow.
This is just proof that we
could. You were holding it backwards.
This is just proof that we couldn't be solo podcasters just because you leave me alone for like 5 seconds and I'm like.
Speak for yourself. This is just proof you couldn't be a solo podcaster.
Says you're the one who asked me to join your podcasting. Yeah, I'm starting a podcast.
You like, really love to milk it, huh?
You could be on it, and then you telling me later. I was never going to start that if you didn't want to be on that.
It's called. I don't even know what you call it. I don't know. It's called Girl Bossing, Lily. That's what it is.
It's called You Need Me to Be on Your Podcast.
No, it's actually, I think the proper term is manipulation, but we'll go. What? Why are you gasping?
I would love to see you do one of these episodes on your own. Why are you gasping?
That's just a roast to me, being like, I'm the, whatever.
Uh-huh. Oh, my laundry is done.
This is not the point of this. Oh, God.
She's looking for her quotes. She's looking for her quotes. She was highlighting like an insane person. She was always like, like highlighting everything. She had so many highlights.
I'm trying to look for the. Oh. Okay. I don't know what it's like because I have the pink highlight, which is like romance.
Oh.
And I just am seeing here, and it's like. Pink, Billy and Daisy on the same mic in one of those small booths. I mean, we'd all kill to be stuck up that close to Daisy. Rod. It was intimate. And then also Rod. Teddy said during one of the takes late at night, Billy didn't take his eyes off Daisy for the whole take. That's something we can talk about. There were so many moments like that where Billy would be like, I wasn't that into Daisy. And then everyone else around is like, they might as well have just had sex like
in the booth right then and there. Like, I'm sorry. Can we? I'll let you do your quotes thing first. And then
I'm just looking. No, keep going.
Oh, I was going to say.
I'm just looking at quotes while we're talking to see if I come across anything. That was the point. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Anyway, but can we just talk about the show that's coming up? Like, the filming is done.
Yeah,
like,
we haven't even brought that up.
This show is coming up pretty soon, I feel like. Like, within the year, for sure. And I just want to say, like, as far as TV adaptations go, this one has the most potential out of any of them. I'm not saying it's going to be the best, but it has the most potential to be great. Because most of the time in books, you really can get the gist of what's... without seeing it with your eyes. But, like, this one is like, I need to hear this music. Like, I need to hear them play this. Like,
yeah, and they have some good people behind the soundtrack, too. Like, they have, what's her name? Maisie Peters. Who is that? There is someone, Maisie Peters. What's her name?
I know she's singing.
We were bad, but we're gonna be good.
I'm just gonna look up who's doing the soundtrack.
So we get Shazam up.
Shazam's not gonna know how to do that.
She's like the new, like, everyone's like, oh, she's the female Ed Sheeran, which I hate, but it's oh fuck, I always see her on my For You page.
Okay. Phoebe Bridgers is working on the soundtrack.
That one. Not Maisie Peters. I'm so sorry if you're not Maisie Peters. hey, if I thought of Bridges. Thank you for the compliment, because I probably was thinking good musician, Maisie Peters. And I don't know who Maisie Peters is. Phoebe Bridges. So they got Phoebe Bridges doing the soundtrack, which I think will be good. She's a really good musician.
I'm just
very trying. Memorable songs, clearly. I just remember, I know all the words.
Very memorable music. No, I'm very excited because watching them like perform the songs live on stage, like they're a rock band, like it's gonna look sick, their concerts.
I wonder if Sam Claflin will have a reconnaissance like Andrew Garfield.
Honestly, I can see it. When that happens, everyone come back to this podcast episode
and we'll predict it, because yeah, we're watching Catching Fire this week, especially earlier. Yeah, I'd take a sugar cube from him. Yeah. I'd take lots of sugar cubes.
Safe
from
to
him.
Say.
Yeah. I'd tell him all my secrets.
All my secrets. No, for sure. So, like, yeah, they're a rock band. These, not only will we get to hear the songs, but we'll get to, like, see that, like, weird intimacy between, like, Daisy and Billy, which I feel like is just going to be very interesting. And then, as well as, like, all these scenes that have been so vividly described. Like, for example, we're talking about the album cover, obviously.
Mm.
Like, I'm excited to see what that looks like. Even though I have a very good idea in my head, that just makes me more excited to see, like, what they do in the show. Like, I feel like there's so much visual happening.
There's also the whole formatting thing of it, right? Where they can play it out, like, scene for scene, obviously. But this is very clearly written in, like, I guess past tense would be the way to put it, because it's somebody recounting these events and we're reading them as if they're recounting of the past. And then we're going to watch this as it's presently happening, though. So it'll be interesting, because I wonder if they'll cut back and forth and do, like, an interview thing.
Yeah.
Because that's really the whole thing of the book, right? It's an interview, massive interview.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that this book adaptation is some of the most potential of other ones I've seen, because there's just so many ways that they could do it, and I have no idea what way they're doing it. So
I've already forgotten how much just casually, like, this goes to show how crazy this plot is as well with the book. I just always forget how much in any other book would be, like, the craziest thing to happen in it just casually happened in this book. For example, one of the band members died, like, 50 pages in or so. Daisy in the married Vietnam an War. Italian prince, like, yeah. Just casually. Yeah.
Even, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, even though we already talked about it, like, Karen's pregnancy, like, swept under the rug.
It was like, just like, oh, by the way, I also got pregnant. I think the main things that were focused on was, like, big moments that I feel like weren't, not swept under the rug, but weren't casually just mentioned, like, oh, by the way, this also happened. Billy's rehab, that was, like, I mean, obviously, but you say, if we're sitting here being like, well, obviously that wasn't, like, just brushed aside, but you look at the other things that were kind of
brushed aside. It's not the first thing you think about when you think of this book, like.
It's interesting what she chose to draw out and focus on as an author is what I'm trying to say, because That speech of Billy coming out of rehab and meeting, like, his daughter for the first time and being on his knees for Camilla, being like, I'm sorry, I will be here, I promise. And I was tearing up.
It was a bit much. Yeah, it was a lot. There was a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're, like, nearing the end of this, I guess, and, like, kind of running out of time.
I found the quote.
Oh, okay.
The quote about how, like, okay, I'll just read it. So Artie was the other producer's name.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and Artie goes, I heard little inklings of grief later. This is after, for context, everybody comes back from summer break and they find out that after the team had worked really well at creating an album together, everyone went away from the summer and Billy went into the studio with Teddy and Artie and basically just changed the album back to what he originally wanted it to be. And everyone was hearing it for the first time while they were playing it for the record execs and being like, he changed everything. And Artie goes, I heard little inklings of grief later that some of the band weren't happy with the changes or maybe the way the changes were handled. But I thought it was sort of odd the way everyone was getting upset at Billy as if he was in charge. Teddy was in charge. If Billy redid Eddie's tracks, it's because Teddy thought Billy should redo the tracks. I never once saw Billy do anything Teddy wasn't backing. I even made a joke once when Teddy was out of the room. Billy had wanted to take out the Dobro, the dobro, I don't know, on some song, but Teddy wanted it in. When Teddy was gone, I said, should we just go ahead and take it out and see if he notices? Billy shook his head, really serious. He said, biggest hit we've had was a song I thought I hated. Teddy's the only one that saved it, he said. If it comes down to his opinion or my opinion, we go with his opinion. So, like, yeah, that's a big thing.
Big moment.
Big moment. Yeah, there's lots of interesting quotes here, actually. Even the whole Daisy saying that, or implying that possibly the only reason she got married to the Italian prince was because Billy was married and she wanted to be married too. It's just like, oh, what did he care? Honestly, what did he care? That's what I was thinking. He was married. I couldn't be married. Or, oh, even that thing. Billy was jealous of Daisy's marriage when they came back. That's another weird thing about the band. When they went on break, they went on break.
They
were like, peace out. Do not talk to me.
She comes back married.
She
like,
comes back married. It's it. And with a new haircut.
With a new haircut. But anyway, as I was saying, because we are running out of time on our podcast episode, I guess, like, I just want to say, like, even though at the near the beginning of the episode, it was like, all these characters are just so unlikable. Yeah, I quite like pretty much every single one of them. Like, they're so unlikable, but I like them anyway.
Likeably unlikable.
They're likeably unlikable. Like, they're so unlikable, but I'm like, you know what? That makes me like you. Like, and so I think that that's a book well done.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I just have a bunch of quotes.
Now she's got a bunch of quotes. She just wants to read.
That just confirms everything we've been saying. But it's just boring for me to read these quotes, I feel like. Just, I don't know. Billy, I love my wife. No. No. I mean, I don't know what to do. What else? Are you done?
Well, do you have a few quotes that you want to read?
I do, but okay. I didn't know if it would be annoying if I read them all.
Well, just read a few of them.
Okay, well, we have Billy. I loved my wife. I was faithful to my wife from the very minute I straightened up. I tried desperately to never feel anything else for any other woman, but breathe deeply. Everything that made Daisy burn made me burn. Everything I loved about the world, Daisy loved about the world. Everything I struggled with, Daisy struggled with. We were two halves. We were the same. In that way that you're only the same with a few other people. In that way that you don't even feel like you have to say your own thoughts because you know the other person is already thinking them. How could I be around Daisy Jones and not be mesmerized by her, not fall in love with her? I couldn't. I just couldn't. But Camilla meant more. That's just the very deepest truth. My family meant more to me. Camilla meant more to me. Maybe for a little while there, Camilla wasn't the person I was the most drawn to.
You know, can I just say something that I've thought of while you were reading that?
Yeah.
So remember how we said it's like, there's really, because Billy and Daisy said some quite interesting things about each other in the interviews, right? Mm-hmm. And even what other people said in their interviews about Billy and Daisy, like, there was some very intimately, like, in love sort of stuff in these quotes.
I just came across a quote that says, I think I thought she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life.
So, I guess the context here is very important in the sense that these quotes are not just being said. So, Billy is going off and saying these things to his daughter, right? Mm. Like, this is his child. I feel like he wouldn't be saying these things unless him and Daisy were currently together in the future, right?
That's a really good point.
That's a really good point. Because I feel like that'd be so random if he was like, yeah, I don't want to be with her. And then went off and said all this to his child. You know, I really feel like I don't know many parents that would do that.
Yeah.
Be like, she's the most beautiful person I've ever seen. But no, we can't be together for whatever reason because she was just hot back in the 70s, honestly.
Like, I mean, I guess very the only rebuttal I have is if anyone's going to be that oblivious, it's probably them.
Probably.
And yeah, but no, that's a really good point you bring up.
Yeah, because obviously I'm not saying it's like proof or anything, but I guess it like leans it. Because before I was like very like, oh, I don't know. But I feel like that kind of leans it more a little bit in one direction than the other. Like,
I mean, for sure. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff just... even this, where Billy's saying, because if I was the man I wanted to be, if I could give Camilla the life I'd promised her, well, I mean, there was a loss in that too. And that loss implied is Daisy. Like, losing Daisy is a loss to him.
Yeah. Because
he wants Daisy and Camilla, which he admits is selfish. I guess the only other rebuttal I could have for that is Daisy does not speak of that. Like, there's a quote I came across earlier where Billy's being very honest about something, and then Daisy's like, how much do we have to give away here? Like, how much? I know we said we're telling the truth, but how much of the truth do you want? And so my only other rebuttal for that is perhaps maybe not, because you can see Billy is just a man that very much owns his mistakes. And yeah, even in the way he speaks of like his addiction and whatever in the novel, like, he's not holding anything back. And it also could be because it is his daughter, right? Like, he's admitting everything to his daughter, being like, if there's a chance to get everything off the table now. Because also, if we're looking at this from the daughter's perspective, which is a perspective we haven't really thought of, she's writing a book to get answers about her parents who were in one of the biggest love affairs of the nation. Like, imagine growing up and the entire nation wanted your dad to be with somebody that isn't your mom, or like was convinced that your dad was having an affair, and you write a book. Like, you would want to know, you're like, did you actually, like, what was going on here? Did you actually love her? Did you have an affair with this other woman? Were, you know? And so I guess there's that element too, where maybe for Billy was just going, I need to be really honest about this.
For sure. And then the only other thing I thought of was, because I think it's the last page of the book is Camilla's letter or whatever, being like, I want them to be together, right? I think that that was like last.
The note?
The note, I believe, is the last page. No, but I think you're on the song.
I'm on
it's
the songs.
It's before the songs. I'm counting like before the songs.
Here we go. From Camilla Dunn to Julia Dunn, Rodriguez, Susanna Dunn, Maria Dunn. Subject, your dad. Hi, girls. I need your help. After I'm gone, give your dad some time, and then please tell him to call Daisy Jones. Her number is in my date book in the second drawer of my nightstand. Tell your father I said at the very least the two of them owe me a song. Love, Mom.
Yeah, so this is the assumption I'm going off of.
Mm.
It's the assumption that Julie... We gotta figure that out.
We should fucking figure that out if we have the book here. Well, yeah, I just said it in the email, actually. Julia.
Okay. So, Julia's writing this book knowing, obviously, if her dad is dating Daisy Jones, obviously, right?
Mm.
And that piece of information was something that she included at the end of the book. I feel like it would be quite a weird thing for her to include at the last page of her novel if they hadn't reconnected in that way. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would have been a very weird thing to include, I guess.
I mean, if you're looking at the novel as well, not even if it's like the fictional story that Julia, fictional character Julia wrote.
Mm.
Also, like Taylor Jenkins Reid, from that perspective, it's like you don't put all that stuff in about a love story that doesn't end up...
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I do think, obviously, it is implied that they probably did end up working out together. Yeah.
It's just so interesting. There's just so many things going on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's just interesting because it's all dynamics. Like, that's what the whole novel is, right? Like,
yeah. I would definitely reread this with the perspective of knowing everything and then annotating out of this.
Even like, keeping track of when Camilla kind of taps out with her POVs, because I didn't even
notice
that.
No, I didn't notice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, overall, a fantastic book. Taylor Jenkins Reid. This is my favorite Taylor Jenkins Reid book. I think I do like it more than Evelyn Hugo.
I don't know. They're pretty...
Maybe it's just because I've read it more recently. I don't know what the deal with that is. But
I don't know. They're both definite books that I would reread. And for me, that's 100%. An automatic 5 out of 5 because I'm not one that rereads or rewatches a lot. But yeah, I really liked it. I'll definitely be watching the show. The show's on Amazon Prime, I think. Which
I have Amazon Prime.
Yeah. I mean...
We'll share. We'll watch.
Amazon Prime's really coming through with the book adaptations.
They are,
it's bittersweet, but it's like not Jeffrey Bezos, but God, I love my book adaptations. But
they know that Jeffrey Bezos knows what he's doing. He's like, gotta get the, because the book talk tried to cancel him a while back. Like, don't buy from Amazon or whatever. Don't buy your books from Amazon. Yeah. And now he's like, let's put all your books on Amazon Prime TV shows. Like,
yeah,
sucks on that way.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
I'm falling for it.
Yeah, I guess we'll see you this time around next year when we're talking about her next book, which is called
Carrie Soto's Back. It's coming out in exactly a month.
Yep.
August 30th.
So maybe this time next month, who knows, depending we'll on be back. How speedy we are with it. Yeah, well, thank you all so much for listening. We're a bit rusty, first book podcast, really, back in a while. But yeah, we'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.